filled with opinions. We are grateful that we get Christ's perspective on our lives, and we get it from God's holy word. Have you been blessed by the praise team on today? Thank you, praise team and musicians, media ministry, ushers, deacons, and all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, where we turn our attention to the Gospel of John. We're going to be in John, beginning at the 9th chapter, first verse, as we continue our series, Jesus On. If you've been with us in a while, then you know that we've covered Jesus' perspective on life and on marriage. And now we want to look at Jesus' perspective on suffering. Join me in the 9th chapter of John. God's word begins this way. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. The disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and he washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he looks like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and I washed and I received my sight." This is the word of the Lord. Father, we are here and we thank you so much for blessing us to be once more in this sacred space as we've sung praises unto you to glorify your name. And now as our attention is directed to your holy word, we ask that God that you prepare our hearts, our minds to be receptive soil for the seed of your word, that it might produce fruit in our lives, that we might grow in our faith and trust in you, and that we might learn to love you and love each other better. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me check here. PV students, I'm glad you're in here, but this may be before your time. Let me check in here. Anybody grew up in the hip-hop generation? I got a few people in here. You know, it's amazing how colloquialisms and quotes began. You know, kids come up now and they think that they're beginning all the new slang, and I try to help them understand some things. But back in the day, and don't get me wrong, I thank God that He has blessed us, Lee, to know how to articulate ourselves using the English language. But every now and then, there's some idioms, some slang, some colloquialism that really, really cut to the chase and get to the point. And back in the day, in the rap culture, there was a term in my era, not yours, it's okay though, in my era, where it was said, "The struggle is real." Anybody here know that thing? The struggle is, in fact, some of you right now, you didn't know it was a slang term, but can you relate to that in your life, that the struggle has been real? This is where we want to begin our journey as we understand how to best interpret our lives when we are going through seasons of suffering. Because in this text, with this blind man's testimony, we realize that not all suffering is caused by sin, but all sin causes suffering. I hope you get that. Because right now you may have come in and you came in with an experience of suffering, but I want you to understand that God has a purpose for the pain that you go through. See, while the gospel accounts in this text records several instances where individuals were suffering. During the earthly ministry of Christ, Christ stepped in and he did something about their suffering. There are those who were lame, and he went in and he gave them the ability to walk again. There are those we know recorded in the text that were sick, and God healed them from their sickness. However, this particular instance in the life and ministry of Christ with this man in our text is one of such uniqueness that out of all the gospel accounts, there is no one else that can report that they were born blind and through the work of Jesus Christ received their sight. Can I slow up for a moment and just tell you that if you are experiencing suffering, suffering is a legitimate experience. It's an experience of the human condition. I mean, everyone experiences suffering. You're looking at me like you don't believe me. Well, let me take a public poll to check for a moment. Anybody can admit that you've encountered, experienced suffering in your life? Oh, yeah. Look around. Everyone experiences suffering. See, there are no exemptions, not even for Christians. Suffering is unpleasant. It's unwanted. And as Christ demonstrated in response to the disciples, sometimes it's even undeserved. No one desires to suffer. But in some way, we all become acquainted with suffering. Suffering is a part of life, and it becomes doubly painful when not only are you suffering, but now the public identifies you by what you're suffering. Oh, come on here for a moment. It's one thing to have private suffering. The whole nother thing when everybody who know you know what you're suffering with. This is the context of this man, as the Bible teaches us. He was born blind. He was born blind from birth, which means then in his life, he continuously had to experience blindness. He was identified with blindness. It was a consuming debilitation that forced him to live in complete dependency of other people. When he was a child, he was blind. When he was an adolescent, he was blind. When he was a teenager, he was blind. When he was a young adult, he was still suffering with blindness. And even as an adult, he's suffering in the text with blindness. There's no public support for one who is blind, not in this time. There are no schools for the blind. In fact, the blind people were relegated to a life of begging. He had to beg for help because of his suffering condition. Suffering is like that, huh? It doesn't always require you be the cause, but you can also always be the recipient. This man suffered, but there is good news in the text. There's good news in the scene. I hope you see it, because when we read it, it's in the outset of verse 1. Though he has been suffering for a long time, like many of us, we've gone through suffering for a long time, or even a short while, or even currently you're in a season of suffering, there is some good news. The first three words of the text. Look at it with me now. In verse 1, it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw him. Man, I hope you catch this. That's good news there, that Jesus saw him. In the midst of his suffering, God is never unaware. And just when the man's season of suffering was normalized to him and all who knew him, Jesus sees him. Are you getting this? In fact, Jesus saw him perhaps when others learned how to ignore him. There are times when we go through suffering that people who see us in our suffering, after a while, they experience compassion fatigue. Or they're apathetically anesthetized to the pain that we are going through, that we're suffering from. Even though you may be directly in front of them, suffering in front of them, something tend to happen with humans who are not empathetic, that those who are crying for safety, suffering, those who are out there begging for food, suffering, those who don't have a decent government in order to live life in safety, suffering. At times we grow anesthetized to the suffering. The American Psychological Association defines this as habituation. P.B. Sousa, I know y'all about to graduate. Congratulations. But let me give you something, a new term for your lexicon in your mind. It's called habituation. Say it with me, habituation. Habituation. This term really reflects when we grow accustomed to a situation or a stimulus that is so repeated, Cassie, that after a while, we don't even realize it's there. It's like if you're living next to a railroad track. At first, you hear it, and you hear it blaring loudly. You hear the trains moving. But if you hang there long enough, after a while, you get deaf to the sound of the railroad tracks. Okay, you don't live by railroad tracks? Let me go bring it in just a little bit closer. It's like hearing a car alarm these days. Back in the day, when you heard a car alarm, you would turn, and you would turn in the direction that the sound is coming from. But now, a car alarm doesn't really even move our attention. Just the other day, I was sitting amongst individuals meditating on this word, and sometime Fred, the best time to really get an illustration is to people watch. I was watching some people, kind of like y'all watching me right now. I was watching some people, and all of a sudden, there was an Amber Alert that came on the phone. An Amber Alert came on the phone, and everybody's cellular device that was connected to them went off. And it's amazing how many of us just turned off the alarm and never even looked at the notification. I'm just trying to help us understand something, that this blind man's situation, though it was real to him, was possibly neglected by others. Even the disciples in the text. Because when you look at the text, the disciples, they're not concerned or compassionate with the man's condition. They rather want to discuss the theological implications of what he is going through. That grabs me, because these disciples, they followed Jesus. They knew that Jesus had the power to heal. In fact, Jesus gave them the authority to go out and heal. And yet, when they see this man in need, they don't respond to the need. They don't initiate in serving. Instead, they rather be being concerned. They rather just talk about what they see. Caleb, I'm not going to ask who I'm talking to right now, because people get quiet when you talk like this. But the reality is, I want to help you understand something, that if everybody ignores what you're going through, if people around you who you believe should be caring about you, and all of a sudden it seems as though there's no concern for what you are suffering from, even while you're suffering, we still can experience God. That's really what we learn in text. Because this blind man, he experiences the compassion of Jesus even while he is suffering. And here's the application. First, Jesus teaches us that we can experience, even while suffering, we can experience God, that we must, when you're going through seasons of suffering, have an awareness of his presence. The Bible teaches us that God is near the brokenhearted. That when we're going through, God doesn't ignore you. God doesn't overlook you. God comes and gets close to you. That's really what you see in the text. Jesus gets close to the blind man, even though the disciples in the second verse wanted to discuss what caused his condition. They were more interested, Drew, in blaming him for what he was going through. You know, when someone is blind, they have an acute awareness through their other senses, which means they have a tendency to hear better and stronger. He's blind. He's not deaf. But since he's disabled, the disciples did not seem to care about his sensitivities when they said in earshot, accusing him of personal sin. Check it out. They criminalized him because of his condition. And they asked Jesus, who sinned? Indicating that in their minds, somebody had to be blamed for this. Did this man sin, or did his parents sin? Do you see some of the trouble and disconnect in the text? They are trying to blame him for being born blind. So let me get it straight. He sinned as an embryo. It's his fault that he's going through it. It's their fault that they're experiencing poverty. It's their fault that they're going through what they're going through. They're trying to blame him, and if the blame can't set with him, they turn to, well, then it must be his parents. must be how he was raised, must be how the environment that he came from. And instead of addressing the need, they just decided to assign blame. But look closely. Jesus said, this man has not sinned, and neither has his parents sinned, that he was born blind, but that the work of God might be displayed in him. Listen to me carefully. There are times when God will providentially permit you to go through some things, not because you've done something to deserve what you're going through, but that God knows that in his divine sovereignty that he has a way to get you out of what you're going through. I'm trying to help you understand something, that sometimes when you're going through something, it's not so much for you, it's more for God, because God wants to get glory through what you are going through. So when others see you going through, it's a testimony what God can do for you even while you're going through it. Come on here, let's be real about it. Some of us right now, you may be suffering, and people look at you and they don't even know what you've been through. Right now, you've gone through some troubles and some struggles, and people look at you and think that you got everything together. No, you don't have it together. Be honest. But it's God who keeps keeping you together even while you're going through what you're going through. Slow down, boy. Slow down. Because the reality is, Lee, we go through some things. But what Jesus teaches us about suffering is that even while suffering, we still can be used by God. Look what he says. He says, This was that the works of God might be displayed in him. Could it be that this season of suffering that you find yourself going through is permitted by God because God wants to use you to help others realize who he is? That God wants to use you as you go through what you go, that God has permitted you to be sick so others can know that he's the God who heals, that God has permitted you to fall down so you know that he's the God who picks you up, that God has permitted you to lose things and he's the God who restores, that God has permitted you so that you can say, let the redeemed of the Lord. Come on, boy, calm down here. Has God redeemed anybody? You've gone through, and people see you now. You ought to use that as a testimony to help others understand that our God is real, and he's active and even involved in your life, even though you go through. God doesn't ignore you. Jesus doesn't ignore the man's suffering. He's been suffering for a while. But his suffering was to demonstrate what Jesus kept trying to teach the people who followed him, that he is the light of the world. And could it be that as you're going through suffering, that God has allowed you to go through a test so that test can be transformed into a testimony? So when others see you, and they wonder why it didn't break you, you could tell them when you fell down to the ground and you were at your last dime, that when you fell down, you realized that God was a rock that had been holding you up the whole time. That could it be that when someone sees you, they can say, you know what? I see it now. It wasn't you, but it was the grace of God. Am I the only one in here who could say, had it not been for grace, where would we be? So he teaches them. He says this is for the work of God might be displayed. Because even while suffering, we still can be used by God. No matter what you're suffering from, you can be used by God. So I want to encourage you to accept the works of God. Jesus comes in on the scene, and this man doesn't see what Jesus is doing. You read it in text, that Jesus sees him in his condition, and he spits on the ground. He makes mud of the spit, and he places it on the man's eyes. I see you right now. Some of you are like, I don't know about this here. Perhaps that's why God didn't let him see it. But anyway, he put spit on the ground, and he makes mud. Check it out, because anything that comes from the mouth of God, when it is in contact with what you're going through, has a way of releasing you from what you're going through. I just say the text right here, Dr. Al, because here it is. He anoints the man's eyes. You see it there? Disciples are watching, and here he puts this medicinal miracle cream on his eye. You think you got some miracle cream? This is it right here. He anoints the man's eyes, and he tells him very specifically, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the sent one, Jesus Christ, sent him to the pool called sent. That's the word right there. So that he would wash. But check out something here. He's blind. He doesn't know what's going to happen next. He doesn't even know who's doing what they're doing to him. Because sometimes God's activity is happening in your life even when you're unaware of what God is doing. Who am I talking to here? This blind man now, he feels the hand of Jesus on him, and he doesn't know the outcome. But there's something that we can learn from this blind man in the text, and that is this, that even though he didn't know what was going to happen, he had enough faith to trust the word of Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to help you understand something. That when you find yourself in suffering, make sure that you trust the word of God, even though you don't know what's going to happen next. How do you know you trust the word of God? It's right there. Because Jesus tells him to go to the pool of Siloam. The pool of Siloam is about 5 yards from the temple. And so here he is. He's walking. Can you see him walking? He's perhaps being led by somebody. Can you see him? He's blind. They're guiding him. Perhaps when he went through that first yard, that second yard, he began to think in his mind, why am I doing this? Perhaps when he continues going, he may be thinking, what's even on my face? Perhaps he's wondering, what's going to happen next? And some of you all, we're just like that, aren't we? That here God's hand is on us. We don't fully comprehend what God is doing in our condition and our situation. And so we're suffering and we're starting to question, does God even care about what I'm going through? I'm trying to help you understand something. God wants us to trust him to the degree that we will be obedient to do what he tells us to do, even though we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Because this one thing I do know is that anytime you're obedient to the word of God, you will be blessed. I don't know how he's going to bless you, but I know that he's going to bless you, because somebody knows in here that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Yeah, we say it there because our pain even has a purpose. And so God, Christ teaches us, even here, that even while suffering, we can demonstrate our trust in God. That we can demonstrate that. How do you demonstrate it? You demonstrate it by advancing forward. Somebody say advancing forward. Advancing forward in obedience. Check this out. I was driving on 71 as I was making my way from the Hill Country, attending some meetings and making my way back under the winding roads of the Hill Country on Highway 71. And so as I was going down, something peculiar. As I was going down, and you know, Lee, when you go down, how your speed just naturally increases. But anyway. Don't look at me like that. Some of y'all know that. So I'm going down Highway 71, but all of a sudden I see this guy, he's disheveled. He's on the side of the shoulder. He's disheveled. His hair looks matted and tangled, but he was walking uphill. He was walking uphill at a place where everybody else was driving quickly and fast, but he was walking uphill. His head was down, but he was walking uphill. The Holy Spirit touched me and said, no, look at him again. He said, because even though he's going uphill, he didn't stop walking. Who am I talking to? That even though you're going through a season of suffering, don't stop walking. Don't just sit on the sideline, but continue knowing that God will be with you. Okay, I need to get my own witness. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art. Because when you're walking, you're not walking by yourself. I see it here. He's suffering, yes. Oh, but he accepts the work of God. He's suffering, yes, but he's demonstrating trust in God. And there are those in the text who see him after the miracle, because he's obedient and he was blind, but God gives him his sight. And as I hurry on, there are some things that happen here, because there are five groups of people that really are also suffering. Because there are some neighbors there, and they see him. Now, remember, the blind man was physically suffering. Remember that, right? You look at the disciples, and disciples were emotionally suffering because they had a failure to increase emotionally empathy for a man who was going through a condition of suffering. So they too were suffering. They were suffering from an anemic personality of anesthetized affection. And so they are suffering. But then these neighbors, I believe, are mentally suffering. Because sometimes, if we're honest about it, there is mental suffering. And Drew, it's really in the text. It's kind of implied in the text when you see these neighbors, because they see the truth in front of them. But even though they see the truth, they believe a lie. I'm not going to get political. I'm just saying that. It's in the text. It's in the text. And so they see the truth, but they believe a lie. And then later on, these neighbors, they take the blind man and they present him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees see him. They see that he's the man who was born blind, and the Pharisees are going through suffering themselves, but their suffering is really the worst kind of suffering, because they are spiritually suffering, refusing to believe that God can do what God can do in their lives. I don't know where you fall in this. So the Pharisees, let me cut through the grass, and you can read it when you get home. The Pharisees, they said, well, let's get his parents involved. Some of you know the story. Eh? Let's get his parents involved and see what they have to say about this situation. And his parents also are suffering. Because the text says his parents, when they saw his parents said, because they were fearful that they would be kicked out of the synagogue, when they saw him, Drew, they said, oh, he's grown, he's of age, he can talk for himself. Because they were suffering from social anxiety, captive to the opinions of others that may affect their station in life. I don't know you may be suffering with. I don't know if you're suffering physically, emotionally. I don't know if you're suffering spiritually, but what I do know is that you can have the same testimony as the man in the text when you place your trust in Jesus Christ. It's right there. He said to them repeatedly, he said, all I know, I may not know if he said anything, but all I do know, I once was blind, but now I'm trying to help you understand something, that when you trust God while you're going through your suffering, you'll start to see things about God that you didn't know about God. You start to trust God in a way that you never trusted God before. And when it's all said and done, you'll have a testimony, just like the man in the text, and says, you know what? There's a time I was in darkness. There's a time I didn't know what was going to happen, but I once was blind. That's my BC days. I once was blind, but now I see, which means God makes everything new. Check it out. This is not a restoration of sight. This man never saw before. This is a new creation of sight. I'm in the text, because any man in Christ, he is a new creation. And if you are suffering, I want you to know there is a Savior who cares about what you're going through, and he wants to save you, deliver you, and help you make it through the suffering that you're going through. I know we got to roll. But 35, verse 35, it says, Jesus. What happened is, so the man's parents come to the synagogue, and they don't make any. They don't come on his behalf, and so synagogue rulers, seeing that his life has been changed, kicked him out of the synagogue. We don't have a church like that. We know that in here there's a whole bunch of people that's coming in with. Issues of their own. Don't look at them right now, because I'm in this thing here. We all go through issues of our own, and we come in this place not because we are issue free. We come in this place because we know that the Savior who cares about us. Because check out verse 35. When they kicked them out of the synagogue, the text says Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The blind man answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who you are speaking to." When the blind man looked at what has happened in his life, look at his response. He said, "Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe." when you try to comprehend how you are still in one piece with all that you have endured in your life, when you try to make sense of how you made it through that separation, made it through that sickness, made it through that divorce, made it through that walkout, made it through that job loss, if you try to comprehend how is it that I made it through, perhaps you'll see that God's fingerprints has been all over you. And it will bring you to a place where you can say, like the man who was once suffering in the text, yes, I believe. That's really why we're here. Because Christ's perspective on our suffering is that our suffering has the objective to get us into the presence of God. Because there are some things we go through that only God is able to deliver us from. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but you've been going through and in this cycle and you've been in this season of suffering and you're trying to figure out how can I endure and make it out of this? There is a Savior who is here. His name is Jesus. He cares about you and he invites you to come into relationship with him. That's why he says, if you're weary and heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Bow your heads all over the building. Because God is speaking to us right now. God knows where you are. God knows everything you're in need of. And in those moments where you feel alone, God wants you to know you're not alone. He's available. He's accessible to you. That even if you're suffering from sin, know that Christ, our Savior, he died for you, that you might be saved even from your sins. Will you trust him? But all heads bowed. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Will you trust him? So we're here, Holy Father, in your presence. As your Spirit is ministering to us, help us not ignore the moment, not rush out and try to get to our vehicles, but help us right now to surrender the struggle to you. Help us to trust you. Even while we're going through those seasons of trial and suffering, trust you that you're able to keep us even while we're struggling forward because you care for us. And in you, we can have life anew. So speak to our hearts that we might respond in obedience. Trust you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.